Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I am Carl Lengel, your host. It is Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2026. State Attorney General Austin Knutson is demanding federal regulators take a close look at one of the largest AI companies in the world before it hits the stock market. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy reports.
In a letter joined by nine other Republican attorneys general, Knutson says OpenAI CEO Sam Altman's leadership of the company may put Montana's public investment accounts at risk. Reuters reported last year the colossal tech firm is aiming to go public with a $1 trillion value. That would be one of the largest initial public offerings ever. Knutson says Altman has a history of, quote, self-dealing and undisclosed conflicts of interest, end quote, that could put markets at risk. The attorney general adds Montana's pension funds for teachers, police officers, and other public servants are invested in public markets and may be impacted if OpenAI isn't intently scrutinized. Companies need to receive approval from the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission before stocks can be bought and sold on public markets. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
Tuesday's near record heat for May will eventually give way to what weather experts are describing as a wintry end-of-week shock to the system. Edward O'Brien reports.
A potent cold front is expected to sweep into western Montana Wednesday and Thursday. It will moderate temperatures slightly, but introduce two hazards: gusty wind and potentially powerful thunderstorms. Westerly winds of up to 45 miles per hour with isolated higher gusts will push into the region, particularly southwest Montana, by Wednesday evening. Impacts include possible power line damage and elevated fire risk. The thunderstorms could also produce hail and severe downbursts. Those are violent winds that crash to the ground and spread out. Forecasters say areas most at risk will generally be east of McDonald Pass and Georgetown Lake. Starting Wednesday night, rain will then move into the northern two-thirds of western Montana. Several inches of fresh snow are possible in the high country by Thursday morning. The National Weather Service says slushy snow, gusty wind, and highs only in the 40s could leave hikers and campers at risk of hypothermia. Daytime highs in the valleys this weekend will only be in the 50s, with mountain temperatures in the 30s. Lows by Sunday and Monday morning might dip below freezing, which could pose a threat to sensitive vegetation. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Billings Logan International Airport will be the site this week of a full-scale airplane accident drill with fire, smoke, and lots of emergency responders. The Federal Aviation Administration requires airports to conduct a full-scale exercise every 3 years to test airport emergency plans. The drill Thursday morning will include simulated fire and smoke coming from a Boeing 727 with emergency responders and volunteers with mock injuries in the role of victims who will be transported to area hospitals. Participants will include Billings, Lockwood, and Airport Fire Rescue, AMR, Yellowstone County DES, and Intermountain Health, St. Vincent Hospital, and Billings Clinic. Billings Logan International Airport will be open and operating as normal during the exercise. The residents of Denton in central Montana are under a boil water advisory after a failure at their water treatment facility over the weekend. A notice on Facebook from Denton authorities report the municipal water system's chlorine disinfection equipment failed on Sunday, May 10th. They tell residents not to drink the water without boiling it for 1 minute before using it in order to kill bacteria and other organisms in the water. Boiled or bottled water should be used for drinking, making ice, brushing teeth, washing dishes, and food preparation until further notice. Tuesday afternoon, Denton officials report Big Spring Water is bringing 1 gallon jugs to the town hall, and the town will provide a gallon jug per person until the situation is resolved. Two states could try to squeeze companies' money out of politics by redefining the powers of corporations. Advocates see the effort as a way to get around the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision that opened the door to more outside election spending. Lawmakers in Hawaii have passed a measure that's headed to the governor, and a similar measure could go before voters this year in Montana. Similar legislation has been introduced in at least 14 states, but none of those bills have gotten as far as Hawaii. The idea is to redefine the state-granted powers of corporations to curtail political spending by companies and dark money groups that aren't required to disclose their donors. Some legal scholars say courts would likely reject this approach, too. With Montana's primary election in just under 3 weeks, it's a good time to make sure you're ready to vote. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection has more.
Along with knowing the candidates on the June 2nd ballot, it's helpful to know about the state's election process. AARP Montana has a resource guide on its website with information and deadlines. Tim Summers is AARP Montana's state director.
Knowing the who, what, when, and where to vote can be very, very confusing. And we want to make it as easy as possible for Montanans to participate.
Montana law now requires voters to list their birth year on their ballots. Thousands of ballots were rejected in last November's election because of this, and a lawsuit filed against the legislation is pending in state court. The state also requires Montanans to present a valid ID when voting in person, or provide ID information or a copy of an ID when voting by mail. A lawsuit is also pending against this law, which was passed in 2025, with a trial scheduled to begin this August. Despite the legal action, both laws are in effect for this election. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
A disease outbreak significantly reduced wolf numbers in Wyoming and Yellowstone National Park last year. Biologists report the lowest wolf population in 20 years, with canine distemper as the likely cause. This virus is especially lethal to wolf pups, with only 37% surviving the year. The outbreak affected 64% of the wolf population in northwestern Wyoming. Despite past outbreaks occurring when populations were high, this one happened with lower numbers, prompting further investigation. Wyoming's wolf population fell by 23%, with a 42% drop in breeding pairs. Officials remain hopeful for recovery, citing increased resistance among surviving wolves. Montana Public Radio visited two Bitterroot Valley classrooms last month where students were learning what it takes to raise rainbow trout and keep fisheries in good health. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy returned to Hamilton this week as the students released their trout into a local pond.
Go, guys, go!
A group of Daly Elementary School fourth graders help carefully pour a big white bucket of squirming juvenile trout into the still waters of Hieronymus Pond. They just spent several months caring for the fish in a 50-gallon tank in the corner of their classroom. The release is the grand finale of conservation nonprofit Trout Unlimited's Trout in the Classroom program. It places trout and salmon tanks in schools across 34 states with a goal of getting students interested in freshwater ecosystems. Student Augie Rohrbach recounts the experience.
Well, it's a really amazing program because it was really fun to see the fish, and it was really fun to see them as eggs and see them hatch and all the tiny, when they were...
The fish are released in a pond because rainbow trout aren't native to Montana and the state doesn't stock its rivers. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks fisheries biologist Jason Lindstrom is on hand to make sure the students follow procedure.
It's really cool because I think it really exposes these kids to the natural world in a time period of human existence where the natural world keeps seemingly getting farther and farther away from kids.
The fourth graders and a high school class release more than 100 fish combined. Lindstrom says most won't survive, but that's all right. They'll still play a crucial role in the ecosystem, feeding predators like larger fish and birds. While the fish are adjusting to their humongous new home, the elementary schoolers enjoy a sweet treat before they gather with the older kids for a group photo. Trout Unlimited says its Trout in the Classroom programs are almost all volunteer-run and reach more than 120,000 kids nationwide. In Hamilton, I'm Austin Amistoy.
That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about the worm is available at ypradio.org.